William the Showman. "I think," said William to the other outlaws, "that it's time we had a waxwork show. Make 'em pay, of course. We'll have it in aid of something, same as grown-ups do."
"In aid of us," suggested Ginger.
No, we'll give it to that society what belongs to Mr. Peters at the Elms," said William charitably. "Then he'll have to let us play in his shrubbery instead of chasing us out, same as he does now. We'll keep half the money ourselves, for expenses, and give half to Mr. Peters for his society to let us play in his shrubbery. I'll be the showman, of course." They were passing the gate of the hall. The hall had lately been taken by a famous actress and her daughter, and as yet the neighbourhood had seen little of them. As they reached the gate, a little girl about the outlaw's age, accompanied by a governess, was turning into it. She was a very pretty little girl. A few yards further on, William looked back. She, too, was looking back. He pulled a face at her. She didn't burst into tears, as he expected her to do. Instead, she pulled a face back at him, a face so perfect in its suddenly assumed hideousness that William was startled into relaxing his own efforts.
"Soppy-looking kid," said Ginger.
"No, she isn't," said William. "She's all right. For a girl, I mean." The outlaws met in the old barn to discuss the waxwork show in greater detail. Douglas was saying, "Of course, most waxworks have ladies in, queens and such like. Perhaps if we had ladies in it—" "All right," said William obligingly. "I'll dress up as a lady if you'll be the showman." "Well, yes, but they always have to be beautiful ladies for waxwork shows," said Douglas, "not the ordinary sort."
"Well, surely I can disguise myself to look like a beautiful lady, can't I?"
challenged William.
"It's easy enough. You just put on a sort of soppy look, the sort of soppy look Ethel's got. And I'll tell you what," he went on, "Ethel had a dress once. She went to a fancy dress dance in it. It's Mary Queen of Scots or something like that. I know where it is. I could borrow it from her. I'll put it back afterwards, and no one would ever know."
"All right," said Ginger. "We'll do the show tomorrow in the old barn and charge 'em a halfpenny each. We'd better put up a poster about it."
Yes, said William. "Yes, and we'll have a special notice about the lady. Come from a long way off at great expense. I bet they'll all want to come and see her, and I bet they'll none of 'em know it's me."
William successfully borrowed the Mary Queen of Scots costume from Ethel's bedroom. It cannot be said that it suited him. He borrowed a boudoir cap of Ethel's to enhance the general effect, but even William could not pretend that he was satisfied with his appearance. Flowers, yes, that would probably make all the difference. The next afternoon he changed into his actress's dress and made his way, as unobtrusively as possible, to the old barn half an hour before the advertised time. The gardens of the hall ran alongside the field where the old barn was, and William hoped to cull the armful of flowers that was to dower him with beauty. He got through the hedge and spied a blaze of bloom just beyond a gravel path. He darted forward and collided with the little girl who was just coming round the corner. The little girl's astonishment at William's appearance needs no accounting for. But William was surprised to see that the little girl was also in fancy dress, an elaborate affair of satin and pearls, and that her costume was obviously meant to impersonate Mary, Queen of Scots. She looked very pretty in it.
"Hello," she said. "What are you doing in our garden?"
"Oh, just looking round,"
said William loftily, as he straightened his boudoir cap.
"You're the boy that pulled a face at me," she said, and added admiringly, "You are an ugly boy. Why are you dressed up?"
"Why shouldn't I be? Why are you, anyway?"
"I hate it. I've got to go to a silly place they've made for me in the garden and be talked to by a stupid woman."
"Well, don't you want to be?"
"No, I hate it. There's only one thing in the whole world I want, and that's to go to a boarding school, and they won't let me. Now, why are you dressed up?"
"I'm dressed up for a waxwork show, actually."
"Oh, what fun! You are lucky,"
said the little girl. William's eyes suddenly gleamed. Surely anyone would pay to see her.
You can go instead of me, if you like," he said carelessly.
"Oh, may I? Oh, But I'm supposed to be going to that silly place to be talked to by that stupid woman.
I'll do that for you, volunteered William. I'm dressed same as you. Well, nearly, anyway. Only I suppose she'd know I wasn't you.
The little girl's eyes were bright. Oh, she wouldn't, she said. She's never seen me. She's come to ask me a lot of stupid questions. Then there's going to be a silly photograph, but I'll be back in time for that. Ooh, I'd love to go and play at being a waxwork.
All right, said William. You go. It's over in the barn. You'll find three boys there. Tell them I've sent you, instead of me, to be Mary Queen of Scots. William was left alone on the garden path. Where was this silly place the little girl had mentioned? He proceeded cautiously down the path. At the end of it, he found an elaborate little garden house. He entered and sat down. A middle-aged woman with large spectacles and carrying an attaché case was approaching from the opposite direction. Miss Perkins had been sent by her paper, Woman's Sphere, to interview Rosemary, the daughter of Clarice Vernet, the famous actress. At a series of tableaux lately given in London by the children of famous actors and actresses, Rosemary had appeared as Mary Queen of Scots, and her appearance had created something of a furore. Woman's Sphere had at once conceived the plan of an illustrated interview. Rosemary's mother had no objection at all, provided that she herself figured largely in both interview and illustration. The photographer was now engaged in posing Rosemary's mother for the photograph. Miss Perkins had been told that she would find Rosemary in the beautiful little garden house. Miss Perkins approached the little house, wearing her most engaging smile. She saw the flicker of a fancy dress, and the smile broadened as she entered.
So this is the little...
Then her mouth dropped open. She blinked and blenched. Extraordinary how standards were changing. That this child should be considered beautiful, it was amazing. The effect, of course, of jazz and cubism, thought Miss Perkins. Miss Perkins put everything down to the effect of jazz and cubism. She summoned back the ghost of her engaging smile.
And this is Rosemary, is it? She said.
Uh-huh, said the child in a gruff voice. Miss Perkins shuddered.
And is this the garden house we've heard so much about?
Uh-huh, said the child again in the same voice.
The Mary Queen of Scots dress wasn't at all what she'd been led to believe it was going to be either, thought Miss Perkins. What a funny headdress, too. And this is where you spend nearly all your time, isn't it, dear?
Uh-huh.
And what are your favourite games? Went on Miss Perkins heroically, taking out a little notebook.
Red Indians and pirates.
Miss Perkins shuddered again. You love to be alone here with your books, don't you?
No, said the child succinctly.
What sort of books do you like best? You read a lot of poetry, don't you?
No, soppy stuff.
Ah, but your mother told me a secret about you.
Uh-huh, said the child, without interest.
You believe in fairies, said Miss Perkins roguishly.
Me? Said the terrible child,
so terribly that Miss Perkins hastily passed on to the next question. What do you like doing best of all?
Well, just messing about, and going in woods and making fires and climbing trees and such like.
Miss Perkins hastily closed the notebook. She was feeling rather faint. It's time for the photograph now, dear. It's to be in the arbour by the yew hedge. That's just along here, isn't it? Don't you love the scent of the flowers? Said Miss Perkins as they walked along.
Flowers don't smell, not a real smell, said the child. I once found a dead cat in a hedge. You should have smelt that.
They reached the arbour. A camera stood in place, and behind it was a young man with a harassed expression. In the arbour sat Clarice Vernet, the actress, very carefully posed, in such a way as to show to best advantage her hair and eyes and nose and legs and ankles, all of which she considered to be her chief good points. She was bending forward so as to show off her figure and chin and neck, and smiling so as to show off her teeth. She was gazing towards the right because she considered the left side of her face to be the better one. Miss Perkins and the child approached from the left. The actress did not move her head or look towards them for fear of upsetting the pose. "You just sit down on the little footstool that's at my feet, darling," she said. "Quickly." The child sat down obediently. The young man's harassed expression became almost wild. "Well, this isn't..." he stammered to Miss Perkins. "Yes, it is," said Miss Perkins stonily. He too blinked and blenched. The child, now seated on the footstool, fixed him with a stern gaze. "Do be quick," said the actress, still smiling dreamily into the distance. "Yes," stammered the young man, diving beneath his black cloth. There came a sound of a little click. "Finished?" said the actress, still without moving. "Yes. Well, I want you to take another of me, just like this, but alone. I'm keeping this pose exactly as it is because I think it's such a good one. You run away now, darling." The child arose and ran away. A small stream of children was issuing from the old barn when William arrived. A queue was lined up outside.
"It really is like what it says on the notice," said a small child, just emerging. "It really is a most beautiful actor, lady. What we've never seen before. Got special for the show."
"Worth a halfpenny?" asked the queue, anxiously.
"Yes, really worth a halfpenny," said the small child, earnestly.
William and the outlaws were coming home from a happy day spent in Mr. Peters' shrubbery. William had presented him the week before with a handsome contribution for his society, and so Mr. Peters knew that, for the time being, he would have to allow them to riot unchecked.
"Let's see the letter she wrote to you again," said Ginger.
William drew from his pocket a grimy piece of paper and read,
"Dear William, I did so enjoy being a waxwork in your show, and it's lovely that they've sent me to a boarding school. Mother had a nervous breakdown when she saw the photo, too late to stop it in the papers, and is still having it. I love being at boarding school. Love from Rosemary."
William went indoors to the drawing room, where his mother sat with Ethel, idly turning over the pages of an illustrated paper. "Look at this," his mother was saying. "Miss Clarice Vernet, the actress, with her beautiful little daughter Rosemary, who is wearing the Mary Queen of Scots costume she wore in the children's tableau in London. They were at the hall for a short time, you know, Ethel, but I never saw them. Now, would you call her a pretty child? To my mind, she's downright plain." Ethel took the paper and studied it. "Awful," she said. "And what a queer thing on her head. It isn't at all the sort of headdress I'd have thought suited the costume at all. No, the costume's rather like that Mary Queen of Scots costume you had once, isn't it, Ethel?" said Mrs. Brown. "Yes, yes, I've got it somewhere still. And don't you think, dear, that the child has just a look of William?" "Oh, not quite as bad as that, surely," said Ethel. But William, rather to her surprise, refused to rise to this. He stared out of the window as if he'd not heard, wearing his most enigmatic expression.